The opening scripture is going to be the next one in our series on, what's the word? Ah, I heard one in the house, hospitality, that's right. And the many different aspects of it. And it'll be 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Because we're kind of hearing from several of the writers of the scriptures. And while that's going up there, I want to just go back to one that we did last week, and it had to do with something Jesus said, that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, and I talked about how faith brought me out a glass of water one day out in the backyard, and how meaningful that was, but this is what Jesus said about that. In the King James, it says, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in his name, or the name of Jesus, because you belong to Christ. That phrase, because you belong to Christ, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he, meaning the person who brought you that glass of water, because you belong to Christ, that person is not going to lose their reward for that. I know that there are rewards that God has for us. Some are present, but I believe there's going to be more at the judgment seat of Christ where believers will have the opportunity to. It's not about our salvation. It's about rewards given by the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And so there are rewards for now. How they manifest in our lives, the blessings and the favor that God shows us. For people who do those things because we belong to Christ, there are rewards for the person. And even an unsaved person may be very capable and easily used of the Lord to minister to us. There are some kind people in this world. They're not all evil and hate Christians. And so whatever they do, they get a reward for that. And plus, we get to drink that nice, refreshing cup of cold water. Amen? Okay, so I don't want to go back to the past too long. And now we're going to hear from Brother John. John, same John. This is one of his epistles from the Gospel of John. Also, John, who was inspired to write the book of Revelation, the man who saw things happening on earth and things in heaven simultaneously. It isn't too many people that I know that have that blessed privilege of seeing things like that into the Spirit. So John said, but whoever has the world's goods, adequate resources, and sees his brother in need, but has no compassion for him, how does the love of God live in him? Little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or with tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice and in sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. By this, we will know, without any doubt, that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him. And we've been looking at all the ways that hospitality manifests itself in the scriptures. And coming back to this, there are, even in the body of Christ, many who have much and many who have little. But in Christianity, there's a balance. Those who have much can help somebody who doesn't. And our government does that. It's called taxes. But I just to compare, okay? When we as taxpayers, we don't really have a choice. We're required by our government to pay taxes. So then they decide who the ones are that they're going to give it to. That's probably such a contrast to Christianity, where we have the ability to be seen. That's not the right word. To see or be aware of needs and do what we can with what God has given to us to help somebody else. It doesn't always mean we can do everything, because sometimes people have needs that are so great, we can be a part of that. But to do it all, the scriptures don't demand that we do it all, but that we do something. And the motive has always got to be, like what John said, compassion. Compassion is more than just feeling sorry for somebody. It's to the point of doing something about it. Yesterday, I don't talk about bowling all that much, except to give you examples. That place was packed yesterday. There was a person that I bowl with. He's unsaved. Not the priest, it was. Thursday night, he said, "Will you bowl with me on Saturday afternoon?" His father, at 51 years of age, was on dialysis for kidneys. His kidneys were failing, and he had a heart attack in front of his kids and his wife and died at the age of 51. And this bowling alley in Claremont is very good about helping special needs people and setting up bowling tournaments and lanes set up for them. They really, really care about the community in which they live, and they have the resources and the place to be able to do that. So they had it's called a no-tap tournament. A no-tap is when you're bowling and you get 9 on the first ball, it counts as a strike. And that was a fundraiser as a result of what the National Kidney Foundation had done all that time to sustain the life of his father. And it hit a note with me because of what happened with our son. Somebody died for Jeremiah to get that liver. I mean, he didn't die, "Oh, I know Jeremiah, I'm going to go die tonight in a car crash." It didn't happen that way, but that's how the liver came. And so this whole thing about seeing needs of people, that place was packed last night, and I didn't even get home until 8 o'clock, and I was over there at 3 o'clock. And there was such a response, and all the money, they charged $45, and all that money went to the Kidney Foundation for this kid's life, his father's life. And I asked about the needs of the household, and he said they're receiving help and that they were good, because you might have done the same thing. You might have thought about, "Well, that took care of my father, but what about the needs?" That left a big hole in the household, you know, for I was thinking about income. Did they lose revenue and things like that? And kind of trying to find out, is there a need, you know, there? And he said, "No, we're okay with that, but I don't know that anybody else asked him." But, you know, all around us, there are so many things. We as a body, and I like to talk to you about that, because we always do these things together. And it really flows as a real family. It's what God is looking for. And remember when Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept, but it said he looked out with compassion? Because he saw their plight. They were following the law, following whatever they were doing, but they didn't know him. And he had such compassion. He always was quick to see the needs of people and do something about it. And I really sense that if we would think maybe more like that as believers, to be aware of needs of people around us and just do something on your own as the Lord leads you, because there's hurting people all around us, and I think we're going to see it squeezed even more. And you're her getting involved representing your town. You're going to be aware from the inside pretty soon about the needs and what can, in a right way, you as a representative are going to be able to be aware of that and in tune, because you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit. How much more discerning and discernment you'll have to be able to represent your town in Montpelier, because A lot of us care about that, but we're not called to do that in that sense as you are. And I'm excited about the insight that the Lord is going to bless you with and really see and be able to be a vessel in God's hands in a place where you might have some choice in where some of the spending goes to make a difference in your town. You know, that's important. And it's important for us. We're called in the scriptures to pray for our leaders in our government, and it's not all bad. They do a lot too. But as Christians, we can also do some things. So compassion is important. And John said, if we don't show compassion to others, how can we say that the love of God is really in us? It's more than Romans 5 that talks about, Paul said that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Don't let outside influences in your life or around your life harden your heart so that you lose compassion, because nobody's hurting worse than the lost. We got to remember that, to prioritize that in the Lord. Don't let compassion kind of dwindle. And then he says, little children. I don't know how old he was when he wrote these letters, but he referred to them as little children. Little children in the faith are believers who have a childlike faith. God said it, I believe it, and that settles that kind of attitude. Don't sit for hours and try to figure it out. Don't grieve and wonder why God did this or why God did that or why he didn't. You're just wasting time. Just guard your own heart. Don't worry about what God's thinking about. But you can always be sure that he's a God of mercy and compassion. And so, and not just with our words, but in action and in truth, practice and sincerity. Practical acts of love are more than words. Being sensitive. I really like when someone in here has a prayer need, and even if it's not for you, you bring it. You're representing their need before our Heavenly Father. You're taking their request, if you will, because maybe they don't feel like they can access our Father like you do. And so when you bring somebody's asked you to pray for them, like our dear sister at home that doesn't come every week because she physically, literally can't do that every week. But you send a prayer request through Barb. And so we as a body, you all know, we just stop and let's pray right now, because I can get caught up just like you and then try to save it all up at the end and we run out the door. Oh, we forgot. Now, I'm prompted to do it as those needs are made available to us, because we can all be a part of that. And even that is showing compassion and mercy, to bring somebody's prayer request or their needs before the Lord. Because who else could fix stuff like he can? Would we start off with, God is an awesome God. How many can testify to the awesomeness of the Lord? Got one, two, three? Oh, good. Oh, a few more? Excellent. Surely we can. And so we represent him here among where we live, our area of life. And then Jesus said, and by doing this, we don't have to get this on the back. I mean, it feels good and it's nice when people thank us, and we shouldn't be so pious that we can't accept a simple thank you from somebody. I don't mean that. I mean, sometimes that's all people know to say. Sometimes with the Lord, the things I've seen him do, it's all I can say. I just don't know what else to say. Thank you. But when it's of the truth, when it's a true thing, that we've come to realize that it was God who initiated something for our betterment, if you will, just saying thank you. So much you read all through the New Covenant how thanksgiving comes up with prayer. it needs to be a part of our prayer life. Even for things that we've asked for and we don't see it yet. Priscilla's testimony, 40 years, standing in 40 years for things that she thanked God for all those years ago. You know, there's people among us that have waited a really long time and our hearts aren't hardened. We can still say thank you even though something hasn't fully manifested. Be of good cheer, Jana. They're coming, I'm telling you. They may be fighting it like pulling a tooth, but they're coming. Amen. You know, I'm aware of things like that among us, and so are you. So don't be doubtful and be thankful, because we are of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But we are people of the truth. And as hard as it is to express it sometimes, and we may get a little flack for it, the words that we speak are true words because they're God's word. God spoke them, we're reading them, and we're speaking them. You're receiving them. People that are going to listen to this recording from Chibuni Buni Land someplace, I don't know, but they're going to hear these words too because they're words of truth. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that when we read Scripture, it is the truth. And we've based our whole life, we've based our whole eternal future on what's written. So he's encouraging because he called them little children. We don't want to get hardened. And so little children, they don't get hardened. They have to be taught to hate, taught to not love, taught in many ways and oftentimes in the household where they're raised, because children grow up to be like their parents, because we're the first role models. So always be truthful, but do it in love, not in sternness. And it said that will assure our heart. That means a right heart, a right spirit, and quiet our conscience before him. Whenever we do an unspoken thing for somebody, it's not about going around and just telling everybody. I didn't tell anybody about that man. I knew about that since Thursday. And all I did was I was invited to come and I went, but there were a lot of people that did. And so we can have a clear conscience about that, doing what we sense the Holy Spirit would have us to do, and not carrying around, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. That's part of hospitality. So I hope that your word enlarges in that regard, because we'll have some more a little bit later. And if we finish them today, next week when we have communion together, I want to introduce you to God's act of hospitality when we have the wine and the bread together. The table has been laid out for us, and God has extended his hospitality to us. So that was how I sensed the Spirit leading as I was bringing these to when we come together next week. What a beautiful way to end that and have the Lord's Supper together, but as his hospitality that he extended to us, because we all have the privilege of being able to enter into that with him and sit at the banquet table. We're already at his right hand in heavenly places. I mean, that's pretty close to the table. Pretty cool.